Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. A new and powerful report from the North Carolina Justice Center's Health Advocacy Project shines a bright light onto the hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians who are suffering as a result of the General Assembly's ongoing refusal to close the state's Medicaid gap. In Profiling North Carolina's Uninsured, How Expanding Medicaid Can Make a Difference, author Brendan Riley details precisely who it is that's currently covered by Medicaid and who isn't, why people are uninsured, and who would benefit from expansion. Brendan joined me in studio earlier this week to discuss the report. Well, Brendan Riley, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Medicaid expansion. Growing momentum seems to be happening all across the country in the states that haven't yet expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. It's even happening here in North Carolina with Republicans stepping up to the plate. You've got a new report, How Expanding Medicaid Can Make a Difference, Profiling North Carolina's Uninsured. Talk to us about who the heck it is that would benefit if we finally get to this and join the long list of states that have expanded Medicaid.
Yeah, well, what we found in this report using new data from the Census Bureau was that we've got over 1 million people in North Carolina who are uninsured. The vast majority of them are what we call non-elderly adults, people between the ages of 19 and 64. These are, by and large, people who are working, but working either in industries or for businesses that are small and don't offer coverage. A lot of them are working full-time, but still are not getting coverage through their employer. We know that the job market has changed a lot in the past 20 years, and more people are working in contingent jobs that don't offer them coverage. So we've got a lot of folks who are working, don't have access to health insurance coverage through their job, and they go uninsured. We also see the report, we find that the vast majority, or rather disproportionately, uninsured people in North Carolina have low incomes. So roughly 2 out of 5 people who are uninsured in North Carolina would qualify for Medicaid if we were to expand it, which means they have fairly low incomes near the poverty line. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people that we know would benefit from Medicaid expansion, would be able to enroll. These are all folks who are living near poverty. I mean, the vast majority of these folks make too much to qualify for Medicaid as it currently is today, or they can't qualify at all. You know, if you're a parent, you're in a family of three, if you make more than $8,000, you make too much to qualify for Medicaid. But you don't make enough to qualify for any financial help to buy your private plan until you make about $21,000. So we've got a lot of folks that we're just leaving hanging there who don't have any options to get health insurance coverage.
That's exactly what expansion is all about, right? That's what's happened in 35, 36 other states now. They've taken this step. They've expanded Medicaid. They're covering these people. Can we talk about some of the benefits that will then accrue to these individuals and to our state if we actually took this step?
If there's a silver lining to holding out this long, is we've been able to see what's happened in other states, right? And so we do have a track record. There's good evidence of what does Medicaid expansion look like in the other states that have done it. And you're right, it's a vast majority of states now who have closed their coverage gaps. And the states that have expanded Medicaid, there's no reason for them to look back. People who get health care, those folks who are able to finally enroll, they have enjoyed better health outcomes. They're more likely to have a regular source of care. They're less likely to rely on an emergency room for primary care. And of course, what comes with that is not just being able to improve your health, but also to enjoy better household financial security. Folks who gain coverage are less likely to incur medical debt, are more likely to be able to have dollars in their pockets that they can spend in the economy and save and invest in their future rather than on medical bills for unnecessary care at the ER that they should be getting in primary care and specialist settings instead. And of course, overall, what we see to the states generally that have expanded the social and economic benefits is they've created jobs. Rural hospitals that were on slim operating margins are now seeing lower rates of uncompensated care. They're getting paid for the care they're providing to the folks who would have been uninsured. And that means that they're better off. And, you know, in their communities, rural hospitals are the economic lifeblood. So they're able to continue operating, supporting jobs in the communities.
And we've lost some rural hospitals in North Carolina, right? And a lot of healthcare providers are just throwing up their hands and saying, people can't pay us, we can't stay in business.
We have. Since 2013, that's when we first rejected Medicaid expansion in North Carolina, 5 rural hospitals have closed or have been converted to a non-hospital style of medical care. And another 8, from according to a report released last year, are at high risk of financial distress. So the problem isn't getting better for those rural hospitals. And I think the math is pretty simple. You know, you might hear folks think that if we add more people into the system that it's going to actually destabilize it. But no, we find that it's going to support the system if you cover more people, because a lot of the uninsured are already getting care, but they're showing up inefficiently getting ER care where they're not able to really get the true treatment that they need and the chronic health care that they need. And at the same time, the hospitals and other healthcare providers aren't getting fully reimbursed for the services they have to provide. So we can make them whole and we can get people the care that they actually need if we expand Medicaid.
So the argument that's been advanced by some critics that somehow this is going to be a burden on the system, it's going to be unsustainable to grow the system. In fact, that's not been the experience in other states, and there's no reason they really expect that's going to happen here.
That's exactly right. And the other thing that we find is that I think sometimes gets missed in this debate is the vast majority of the Medicaid expansion is something that we're already paying for in our tax dollars. The federal government is going to pay for 90% of this. They would have paid for 100% of it for the first 3 years if we expanded back in the day. But let's go ahead and just look forward and not look backward. They're still going to cover 90% of the tab, which is way more than what they normally pay for the Medicaid program generally. So we're going to see an influx of lots of federal dollars that come into our state. There's a multiplier effect as those dollars go into circulate into the economy, and it can make such a big difference. So there's no reason not to do this.
One of the arguments that the critics or the foot draggers will make is, well, how do we know they're going to keep giving us 90% of the funds at the federal level? They might cut it, and then what will we do? That's going to cost the state a bunch of money.
Understandably, folks are always concerned when thinking about making a commitment. But, you know, there are a lot of joint federal-state programs that we participate in that haven't been scaled back. I think that there are a number of political reasons to think about this as not likely. One, right now, there's a Democratic Congress that I don't see that there's any chance that they would do anything to cut back the Medicaid expansion. But there's also now a huge political voting bloc and, you know, I'd say, 36 states in Washington, D.C. are all now deeply invested in maintaining this moving forward. What some states have done for those who are nervous about this is they put in language into their legislation when they expanded Medicaid that said if the federal match drops below 90%, our Medicaid expansion will be repealed. But no state has done that because the match isn't going anywhere.
Right. And of course, we haven't not taken federal highway dollars to build roads in our state where the match is less than 90%. And there's always a chance, you know, once you commit to building a highway system that could evolve. But the folks opposing Medicaid expansion certainly aren't opposing taking federal highway dollars, right?
I would think not. I mean, and we know this 90% federal match, it's set in statute. So that would require an act of Congress to change that. That's not just something the Trump administration can undo.
We're obviously going to help the healthcare providers, but you alluded to the multiplier effect, but that's something worth pointing out. I mean, if you bring literally billions of dollars into your state, the people that you're paying to do work then spend the money in stores and it filters through the economy, right? I mean, there's reason to believe that this could actually provide a boost to our economy.
That's exactly right. And we know that there was a study done a few years back here in North Carolina that estimated that over time, 40,000 jobs would be created if we expanded Medicaid. And that's not just in the healthcare sector, but a lot of these are private sector, good paying jobs, particularly in rural communities. We see a lot of these benefits sort of disproportionately. And it is really that those dollars that circulate in the economy. And fortunately, again, the only silver lining to us holding out is that we have this experience in other states that we can look back at. Michigan created, I think, over 30,000 jobs in their Medicaid expansion. Other states have been able to measure that economic impact and really point it right back to concretely the Medicaid expansion.
So as we go forward, the North Carolina General Assembly has come into session for its 2019 session. We've seen bills introduced in the past from Republican members. The Republicans still hold a majority in the General Assembly to actually do this, but there is a lot of opposition still from some ranks within the Republican Party. It seems, though, that maybe the opposition's starting to fray around the edges and show some cracks. Even the Republican sponsors are being a little more outspoken about it. Are you feeling optimism about 2019?
I think there's reason to be hopeful. We know that Democrats in the General Assembly have already introduced, on the first day of session, introduced bills to expand the Medicaid program. We know that there are some folks in the Republican Party who are working to find their own version, their own way to do this that can get support in their caucus. We hope that they're able to do that, but we also hope that they're able to expand Medicaid and reap its full benefits without putting any new barriers on enrollees. All in all, I think that what's happening across the country, what's happened here in the state the past several months, I think there's a clear message that there is an urgent crisis here in North Carolina and that lawmakers need to step up and put politics aside to solve it.
One last point we should make. There is compelling evidence that literally this will save lives, that there are people whose care they do without care or they have poor care because they don't have health insurance. And literally thousands of lives could be saved if we took this step.
We talk a lot about the economics. We talk a lot about creating jobs. We talk a lot about helping our rural hospitals. But at the end of the day, we're talking about, as you said, people's lives, that there are hundreds of thousands of uninsured people who could get coverage that could mean life or death. that human side of Medicaid expansion is really why we're doing this and why we hope our lawmakers will step up.
Well, good luck to you in your efforts. Hope the next time you're on the show, we check in on the great success we're having in the 2019 session. Please keep up the good work. Folks should check out the report at ncjustice.org, which is the home organization for Brendan Riley and the health advocacy project that he works for. So check him out at ncjustice.org. Brendan, take care. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, experts are more convinced than ever before of the long-term benefits of high-quality pre-kindergarten. Stay with us.